Well, Father, we thank you for those words to Mashiach Yahushua, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today's our teaching is going to be on polarization is godly. And so the polarization, the word actually is a scientific word of gases and so forth. But we're going to use it in a figurative sense as you're either positive or you're negative. There's no in between, one or the other. And we know that with Yahushua in Revelations, you're neither hot nor cold. And lukewarm, you spit them out. And so if you're hot, you're cold, lukewarm, you spit them out. And so we're going to begin in that area to look at, we got to choose. Each one of us has to choose. You know, it really comes down to you. If you have enemies, good. You're doing something right. If you don't have enemies, bad. And it really comes down to that. So what we're going to see with Christ, did people love him?
Yes.
Did they hate him?
Yes.
Do people love us?
Yes.
Do they hate us? Well, if I don't have anybody hating me, then I might start questioning myself. Am I making a stand? Am I actually representing Christ? Or have I gone lukewarm, where everybody's my friend? Right. Speaking the truth in love, as we're going to see, a long history of people who were hated and wanted to be killed all the way through history because they're standing for Yahweh. So we're in a dark world. We live in a dark world. We've been born in this dark world. We put light in it, and it's our objective of the satanic force. There is a satanic force. There are the workers of iniquity and heavenly powers in Ephesians 6 that have really laid a foundation before we were even born on corruption and falsities, deceptions. And when we come in there, these are our norms, and these are what we were taught from our childhood. Right? And then we grab our book, and all of a sudden you find out, wait a minute, what I've been taught is contrary to this book. So this is the light that comes back in, and then we have to start undoing those things and cutting those cords and everything else and bring up another generation correctly. So we know we're going to go to about two masters, Matthew 6:24. And we're given an opportunity not to be frowned upon, but this life, like one person said, is but a vapor. You know, if you live 70 years, 80 years, you know, and compared to a billion years with Christ, you know, who do I want to put my rewards in? The billion years or this life? You know, so really looking at the long term, if I am hated for Christ's sake, what do? I rejoice. Wow. Well, that's not very good. Do people like to be hated? No. Do they like to be do they like to be canceled? No. Do they like not to be invited to the parties? No. And so the world tells us to follow, keep your mouth shut, follow along what everybody is doing, and you won't be canceled. And if you don't, we're going to make examples of you. And Stephen was an example, right?
Yeah.
Of speaking up.
Yeah.
We're going to show you what about speaking up is. And who was that done by? The unbelievers?
No.
No. He was killed by the believers. By the church. So Matthew 6:24, so we're going to learn lessons. Why does Yahweh tell us all these things? To learn from them. 24, no one under two masters shall be in service. For either the one he will hate and the other love, or one he will hold to and the other despise. You cannot be in service unto Yahweh and unto riches. And when it says riches, that means me. So
mammon.
Yeah, but man is still me. I mean, I can choose the world, and because, you know, obviously riches is not a person, and man is not a person. You know, what it is prosperity. I can choose the world or I can choose Yahweh. He says, you got two. Well, I get up to about 10 No, there's really just two. Now, and so that's Republican or Democrat in the United States. It's the United States. Republicans are based on Christianities. The Democrat Party is based upon Satan on their platform. And I have pastors, and then the people will say, well, I'm going to be an independent. And what does independent mean? I'm going to do both. That is most pastors in today's churches. Is what you have done is you can't, you're not hot or you're not cold, you're what? Lukewarm. And it'll spit you out. Because an independent means I'm going to have people like me from both sides, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to be liked. And if you want a business, that's what you want to be. If you're running a business, you don't want to, you don't want to alienate any customers, whether they're Democrat or Republican. You want all the customers to come to your business, and so you're going to be that. That's just fine. But when it comes into things of Yahweh, it's different. We have to make a decision. There's spirit or there's flesh, and we're going to see that in Galatians and Romans. The spirit, and it's not Holy Spirit, but the spirit is in contrast to the flesh. We have the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Ruach. There's no in-between. It's either one or the other. You know, so the question is, are you hated? And so you have to do an examination. Does anybody avoid me because of how I present the Christian outlook on things? If they avoid me, good. That means you're doing something. You're speaking up. If you're not hated, you might just question yourself, do people even know what this book says, or am I manifesting this book to what it says? So a Democrat, you know, just example of today, is what's being inculcated is sodomy, the acceptance of sodomy, mm-hmm. which to our minds would be blown. It was against the law in the majority of all states until our Supreme Court made it legal, sodomy. Who can even imagine embracing, well, I'm not going to embrace sodomy, but I'm not going to scowl on it because he's a brother in Christ, and so he has a he sodomizes with his mate, or maybe pedophiles with children, and now the Catholic Church has embraced that, the Methodist Church has embraced that, and I have people I've associated with who, you know, you might have a Republican who is a sodomite, and that if you're a homosexual or what they call gay, it's sodomy. And it's just, let's just call it what it is. It's sodomy. Is that an abomination?
Yeah.
Does Yahweh hate it? Yeah, if you want to know, for example, read Romans 1.
Yeah.
And it talks about women with women and men with women. It's just an abomination. Can it ever be accepted? Never. And so we've got to relay that message. No. If you're a homosexual, goodbye. You're no part of us. I'm going to turn you to Christ. If you don't turn to Christ, kick off the dust, leave. And we're standing that, no, is that going to make homosexuals upset? Well, yes. Is it going to make Democrats upset?
Yes.
Yes. That's good. That's good. Yahweh is polarizing. So we go to John 7:7, and you'll be canceled. Let's go to John 7:7. Are we supposed to be imitators of Christ?
Yeah.
Okay. Watch this. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. Well, wait a minute. Is this the gig? Is this the covenant I enter into that the world's going to hate me if I do what you say? But if I moderate and keep below what you say, then the world's not going to hate me, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just keep it to yourself and you won't be hated. Watch this. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth because I bear witness concerning it that the works thereof are what?
Wicked.
Is sodomy ever going to be accepted? No. Is fornication going to be accepted?
No.
Is what they call transgender, which are transvestites, accepted? No. You know, this is the standard. Stealing's not accepted. You know, lying's not accepted. And it goes on and on. There's the Ten Commandments. That's all there is to it. And I love, we had a friend whose mother was a Mormon. And they've said no X-rated, I mean, no R-rated movies ever. And so it was the whole, regardless
all
of what
life,
it was.
You're kind of mumbling. Your wife?
No R-rated movies.
Oh, yeah.
So their children was raised up. My son-in-law was raised up by a Mormon mother and just shook his head. Oh, Mom, let us go see. No. No. And I love that. To be able to say, nope, not accepted. Now we go to chapter 15, 18.
And it makes you uncomfortable.
18. If the world is hating you, you are getting to know that me before you and have hated. Yeah. I think anybody who's going to wants to enter into a relationship, a covenant with Christ and Yahweh, you know, what you're doing is you're entering a relationship, a covenant like marriage. That's what becoming a Christian is. One of the criteria is you must inform them you're going to be hated. Do you agree to that? Well, wait a minute here. No, that comes with the territory. If you're not going to agree to that, then you can't be a follower. You're not entering into a covenant. 19. If of the world you had been, the world of its own had been fond. And so if you're liked by everybody, you're of the world, regardless. Now, pastors, and many pastors, are loved by everybody. They're of the world, because they haven't made a stand. But because of the world, you are not. On the contrary, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world does what? Hates you. No, so this is this part of it. Remember the word which I spake unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If me they persecuted, you too will they persecute. If my word they kept, your own also will they keep. But all these things will they do unto you on account of my name, because they know not him that sent me. And so if the pastor is not persecuted or hated, then you've got to really, and they say, who is this? And he's a hireling. He's not really a shepherd. He's a hireling. He's a restaurant owner. And that can be nice. He runs a restaurant. And I want to get the most amount of people into my church, and so I'm going to be moderate, and I'm not going to bring up sodomy. I'm not going to bring up fornication. I'm not going to bring up the Democrat Party on this platform. And 22, had I not come and spoken unto them, sin had they none. But now have they no excuse for their sin. He that hates me, hates my Father also. God, had I not, but look at that. So if they hate us, and I am doing the Father's will, who do they hate? The Father. They hate Christ and the Father, regardless of what they say. That's what it is. And so we get to choose that, and man, we don't go there, but you can go to 1 John 3, the same thing, the world will hate you. And so let's go into Matthew 21. We're going to see most pastors are going to fit into this category, which is sad to say. A good example, and it would be, an actual pastor is Moses, right? A hireling would be, at that particular time, his brother Aaron, Aharon. How dare you? He's a prophet of Yahweh, right? What did the church, what did they want him to do?
Build a calf.
They give him a god. And did he say, I rebuke you. Leave me. Nope. It's flattering. You know, Moses is gone for 40 days. They think he's dead. I'm going to be taken over. So what do I want to do? I want to please people. And so I build him a god. Aaron's a great guy.
Yeah.
Yahweh anointed him. He was a prophet of Yahweh. If he can fall in this capacity, why would we leave pastors camped? Matthew 21.
Ourselves, our own
selves. Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. But you're looking at, okay, 21 verse 23, we're going to see who this is written to. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him. Who's he teaching to? The chief elders and the chief priests, the elders of the people. This is who he's talking to, right? He's going to give them a parable in verse 28. But how do you, does it seem, a man had two sons. Coming unto the first, he said, Son, go thy way. Today be working in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I, sir, and went not. Those are pastors. Right? These are pastors. Next one. And coming unto the second, he spake in like manner, and he answered and said, I will not. Afterwards, smitten with regret, he went. That is us. We're going to do the word. Which of the two did the will of the Father? And they said, the latter. Yahushua said unto them, who? He said unto the chief priests and elders, back in 23, verily I say unto you, the tax collectors and the harlots are going before you into the kingdom of God. And John came unto you in a way of righteousness, and what? You believed him not. The church people did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the harlots believed him. And ye seeing it, were not even spit with regret afterwards as to believe him. So you're looking at that, you're like, wow. So a pastor says, I love God, right? I love Yahweh. I love you. Okay, then speak the truth. You know, speak this truth. Okay, are you a Republican or a Democrat? Good question. I'm an independent. Lukewarm. You're not doing this word. You can't vote Democrat ever because of sodomy, abortion, stealing, you know, everything kind of, that's the Democrat Party. That's their platform. You can't say that. I was at a place where here's three pastors sitting. We're supposed to be in Wichita, Kansas. And they said, what are you? Independent. And the one says, I'm a Republican. One out of three identified as a Republican. The other one's lukewarm. And with all of you, go to your pastor and say, are you a Democrat or Republican? And if they can't answer that, they're a hireling. They're not a shepherd. A shepherd would get up and say to his church, you cannot be a Democrat, period. Because of here's their platform. It breaks five of the Ten Commandments, period. Very simple. If a pastor doesn't do that, why doesn't he? Why wouldn't a shepherd do that? So here's a shepherd. Their sheep are coming down. Here's a pool of clean water. And here's a pool of water with feces in it. All right? And when he gets a sheep, he jumps in front of the water with the feces and said, go over here. Why? Because he's a shepherd. He doesn't want them to get sick. But the shepherds today, usually hirelings, they're coming down and I'm just going to let them go to whatever pool they decide to go to. And I'm not going to say anything. Yeah. That's a hireling. Now we go to, here's this a great example. We have a scenario on this. Ahab, and his name is really Oxab, which is a brother father, a father brother. And we have Elijah, and we have Jehoshaphat. All right, so we have three characters, and we're going to see this played out of who's who. So we've got a 1 Kings 18. Are these all Jews? Is Oxab a Jew? Yes, he is. Is Elijah a Jew? Yes, he is. Is Jehoshaphat a Jew? Yes, they are. Yes, he is. So we've got a 1 Kings 18.
Just give us time here.
Okay. So this is a great illustration. 17 through 18. And it came to pass when Ahab, and his really name is Oxab, that Ab is father, A-B is father, and Ox would be brother father. Saw Elijah that Ahab's, no, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Now this one, saw Elijah that Oxab said unto him, now art thou troubling Israel. Who's he blaming? He's blaming Yahweh for no rain and not himself. And he said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and the house of thy father, and that you have forsaken the commandments of Yahweh and followed Baal. Now we go to 21. Let's see here. And Elijah drew near to all the people and said, how long are you limping on two divided opinions? Remember that? Here we go. Polarization. Hot or cold. If Yahweh be El, follow him. But if Baal, which means Lord, Baal just means Lord, follow him. But the people said, yay! Now, what did the people say?
Nothing.
The people answered him, not a word. What are they? Lukewarm. They're right in the middle. Now we go to 21, we're going to go to, 21, 20. Here's another place, too, where Ahab defies Elijah again. Then said Ahab unto Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he said, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to the things that is wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. So many times when we speak the truth, we're going to be called the enemies of Christ. That's how it works. Was Elijah called the enemy?
No.
Yes. Was he serving Yahweh? Yes. And so the religion called him the enemy. Now we go to, I guess we'll just stop, go there. Now we're going to go to Jehoshaphat. Now we're going to see it. Jehoshaphat, well, let's just go here. 2 Chronicles 17.
2 Chronicles what?
17. There's very little in Kings about Jehoshaphat. Kind of interesting. 2 Chronicles 17. 3 through 5. And it came to pass that Yahweh was with Jehoshaphat. Well, this is great. Because he walked in the first ways of David.
This is 17:5.
17, yeah, 2 Chronicles chapter 17, oh, verse 3. Sorry.
Okay.
I say 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 to 5.
Okay.
And it came to pass that Yahweh was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of David his father and sought not unto the Baalim. For unto the God of his fathers he sought, and in his commandments he walked, and not according to the doings of Israel. You know, big thing on pastors. Are they teaching a Trinity? Do they teach Yahweh? Or do they teach God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Real simple. If Jesus is God, all right, they are Ahab, Ahab. That's no different than Baal. You know, what you've got is a different God right here. And a majority of Christian pastors do teach that. Because they know if they don't, you know what happens? They might lose their congregation. And that's what we see with Jehoshaphat. In 5, therefore did Yahweh establish the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave a present of Jehoshaphat, and he came to have riches and honor and abundance. What a great guy! You know, this is great. This is Jehoshaphat. Our introduction to him. Now we're going to go to 18, same book, 18:1. This is what happens to pastors. And us also.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to be alienated. Everybody would like to go to the party. But I'll tell you what, let's say in the United States, they have something called a bachelor party. And according to the world, you go to get strippers and you go to bars and overdrink alcohol. If you're invited, that's an insult. Because they don't know who you are. If you're not invited, that's a compliment. So I should take that as a compliment that I'm not invited. 18:1, it came to pass when Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance that he contracted by marriage affinity with who? Ahab. Golly. Is he going lukewarm? Yes, he is, because he has riches and abundance, and now I'm going to make an association with a... You know, he's all right. He's a homosexual. Let's just say he's a homosexual pastor. Well, he's still an Israelite. He's still a Jew. Why don't we just burn this bridge and let's shake hands and let's work together? And that's what's happening. And so he went down at the end of some years unto Ahab, or Achab, to Samaria. Achab therefore sacrificed for him sheep and oxen in abundance, also for the people whom he had met with him, and then persuaded him to go up against Ramoth-Gilead. For Achab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go up with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he said unto him, so am I, even as thou. Wrong. And like thy people are my people, and with thee in war. That's where you, and that is today with that mediocre stuff. Where all of a sudden, does the nation of Israel, the 10 tribes, like Jehoshaphat? Yes. Does Ahab like Jehoshaphat? Yes. Does Jezebel like Jehoshaphat? Yes. That's, you know, remember, Jezebel is Achab's wife. Everything's good. We're all Jews, right? Let's see here. Four. Then said Jehoshaphat unto the king of Israel, seek, I pray thee, sometime today the word of Yahweh. let me see here. So Achab is religious. Does he have prophets? Yes, he has prophets. Do they speak in the name of Yahweh? They say they speak in the name of Yahweh. We're going to look at that. Five. So the king of Israel gathered together the prophets, 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, and may God deliver it into the hand of the king. Then said Jehoshaphat, is there not here a prophet of Yahweh? And we know there was one, and it was Micaiah, and we're going to find out. Micaiah said, no, you're going to die. And they lock him up. Are you willing to get locked up by telling the truth? You know, Micaiah could have said, let's chill this. Whatever you said, what do you want to hear? What do you want to hear? You know, I just got a booklet. I did this. And had this made. This was done in 1808. The dissertations on the unity of God and the person of the Father, on the Messiahship of Yahushua, and it says Jesus, and the Son of God and of Mary. Done in 1808, it's a great illustration that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, a man, Christ Yahushua. To the church today, that is blasphemy. That verse is blasphemy because it breaks the Trinity all apart. There's no Trinity. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, a man, Christ Yahushua. He's not a man, and he is God. So here was a verse, insults you. The word of Yahweh insults you. Well, I have this, and so there's about 10 pastors, about 50 of them, and I'm going to send them to different pastors as I'm led to give them a chance to see their errors in this lifetime. And make it, because it's excellent. It's the first three chapters, 44 pages. And it's not disputable. You know, so the Trinity is just garbage. They have at least a chance, and I can say to Yahweh and to Christ, I gave him a chance. I gave him a chance to come clean. Now, if they throw their book away, they had a chance. Because they got Holy Spirit, Holy Ruach, and if they can do that, every time they think of that verse, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, a man, Christ Yahushua. That's blasphemy. It's not. If that's blasphemy to me, then what I believe is what? Blasphemy. Ow. We got to give everybody a chance. Now we go to, let's see here. Okay, 2 Chronicles 19, 1 and 3. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he went to battle, didn't listen to Micaiah. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned into his own house in peace to Jerusalem. How did that relationship work out? You want to work out and hang out with Democrats? You want to work out and hang out with Trinitarians? You know, when it comes down to this, and they're going to rebuke, they're going to refuse the word, they're going to have three gods, go ahead. And there came out to meet him Jehu, son of Hananiah, the seer, who said unto King Jehoshaphat, until lawless was a right to give help. Wow. So now Yahweh's bringing a prophet in. And on them who hate Yahweh to bestow thy love, him who hate Yahweh to bestow thy love, for this cause, therefore, is there wrath against thee from before Yahweh. Howbeit, good things are found with thee, for that thou hast consumed the sacred stem out of the land, and hast fixed thy heart to seek Elohim. And so he vacillated. So here's a chance. But one other illustration of his vacillation is in chapter 20, verse 35. Did Elijah vacillate? No. Did the prophet Elisha vacillate? No. In chapter 20, verse 35 through 37, after you have that encounter, the king of Israel's have Baal, you know, they have Jezebel, you know, they hate Yahweh. And so you should, okay, cut Israel, cut the 10 nations, we're with Judah, we're going to do Yahweh. Here in 35, and after this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, joined himself, Ahaziah, king of Israel. He was lawless in his doings. So here he comes again and makes an agreement and becomes friends with another king, where we're both Jews. And he joined with him to make ships to go into Tarshish, and they made ships in Ezan Geber. Then prophesied Eleazar, son of Dovakua of Marseille, against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, Yahweh has broken in pieces thy works, so the ships were wrecked, were not able to go up to Tarshish. So you're like, Jehoshaphat, man. And as we know, they married into Ahab's family, his son, and Athaliah, you get to find out, it just goes bad to worse. And so you want to be in the middle, remember polarization, Elijah washed his hands of Ahab, Jehoshaphat did not, and here's the consequences. His son killed his brothers after he was king, and then his son's wife, killed all their grandchildren. Because they hid the one. All because of Jehoshaphat intertwining with the family of Ahab. He had no idea. Well, he's going to be shocked when he gets on the new earth. So we have to look at, are you Jehoshaphat or are you Elijah? So each one of us, are you Jehoshaphat or are you Elijah? There's one thing about helping people. They want to be helped. And there's another people of, if you're going to do that, I just can't have anything to do with you. It's just that simple. Now we go to, we're supposed to be imitators of Yahweh, and we don't even have to go that. Ephesians 5, 1 through 5, and 1 Corinthians 11, 1, it says, become ye imitators of Yahweh as children beloved, we don't have to go there, and walk in love. Be imitators of Yahweh as children beloved, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and delivered himself up in your behalf, an offering and sacrifice unto Yahweh for a fragrance of sweet smell. Are we supposed to imitate Yahweh?
Yes.
Yes. Are we supposed to imitate Christ?
Yes.
Yes. And we know Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Were they loved or hated?
Hated.
Both. Both.
Good point.
Both.
Oh.
And so when you're in school, you had a teacher who was a Democrat, a wicked person. Now you can either be quiet and don't say anything because I got my grade, or I can bring it out to try to help this person. And once I tell a person, you're wrong, and what you do is wicked, are you loved or hated?
Hated.
Hated. And you're proud of it. I'm proud of it. Yeah, sure. You know people, and I think it was Winston Churchill said, you're hated? Good. That means you stood for something.
Yeah.
You know, this is good, because you stood for something. So we'd have to go there, but let's go to, we're know of Christ. You know, we know that they want, let's just go John 7:19.
That's what Malay said. He said, if they hate you, that's good.
Yeah, something that's good. Like that. Yeah, that's good.
Talking about Winston Churchill, what did you say, John what?
7, verse 19. Here's the boss. Here's the boss. Here's supposed to be our boss, Lord Yahushua. What did I say? 7:19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet not one of you doeth the law? Why seek you to what? Slay me. Why are you trying to kill me? Has anybody tried to kill you lately?
Nope.
Maybe we're not quite where we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
837. 837. I know that you are the seed of Abraham. Or were these the churchgoers? Yes, they were. They were the churchgoers. The seed of Abraham, they're Jewish. So that was their church at that time. But you are seeking to kill me, because my word findeth no place in you.
And then it goes on to
38. What things I have been seen with thy father, I am speaking. You also, what things you have heard from your father are doing. And he's going to call these people in the church, your father is what?
The adversary.
The adversary. The slanderer, the devil. In church? Yes. What a better place to be. You know, we had communist people in the United States government. Infiltration. It's called infiltration. And you've gone in there to, but you have to have one face, but you're something completely different. Then answered they, said unto him, our father is Abraham. Yahushua said unto them, if children of Abraham you are, the works of Abraham are you doing. But now are you seeking to what?
Kill
me. A man who the truth unto you has spoken. If I say there is one God and one mediator between God and man, a man, Christ Jesus, and if that makes you upset, then it's not me, it's your creator.
Talk to the author.
Which I have heard from God that Abraham did not. You are doing the works of your father. They said unto you, we have fornication, we're not born. One father have we, God. Are they going to say, we're churchgoers, we're Christians? And it goes on, your father is the adversary, the slanderer. Let's go to the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 9. This is after he gets converted. He has a touch, knocked off his horse by the light, and he's ready to go. But Saul was the more gaining power and was confounding the Jews who dwelt in Damascus. The Jews, the church, yes, they are. Showing by comparison that this is the Mashiach. Now, when a considerable number of days were being fulfilled, the Jews took counsel together to what? Kill him. Is he a follower of Christ? Yeah. You know why? Because they want to kill him. Oh, that's what I signed up for? Yes. Chapter 12. Now, it sounds like it's time to flee, but if people don't even hate you, you got a real problem. You know, you're quiet. 12:1. Now, in the course of that season, Herod the king thrust forth his hands to harm some of them of the assembly and slew James, the brother of John, with a sword. And seeing that it was acceptable unto the Jews, he went on to apprehend Peter also. Look at that. The Jews wanted to silence him. And so remember, it's always to silence you. Remember that when the apostles were speaking after the day of Pentecost? They said, silence or we'll beat you. Silence. And that's canceling. That's in our culture today, it's called canceling. So the left will cancel you. Twitter or Facebook, if you say something wrong many times, they will cancel you. And that is the same technique of our adversary. They can't come up with a valid argument against it, so the objective is to silence you. Silence. Silence. Now, we saw that with Peter. So, we'll go, end it up in Joshua 24. The point being, you can be silent. We can all be silent. We can have evil people be supposedly our friends. And people say, well, they don't know what they're voting for. Let's say they're Democrats. So I have Christians who say they have Democrat friends. And so you're like, they can't be your friends. And if they are, you haven't told them that you can't be a Democrat. And I think if you told them you're in sin, by voting for sodomy, abortion, stealing from the rich, you know, all these things that the Democrat Party was. So they're not going to do that because they're their friends. Well, that's fine. You made a choice. Just like Jehoshaphat did. You made a choice. When you meet Christ, don't be surprised that he is not impressed with you. Get in the back of the line. You're here, but you're getting the back of the line because you wouldn't stand up for me. But here's Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, I revere you, Yahweh. This is Joshua, and his name is Yahushua. And there is just a sad state. And so we were brought up, everybody in this place, with there's no Yahweh, there's no Yahushua, there's no speaking in tongues, there's no interpretation of tongues, there's no prophesying. Hell is very apparent. People die, they go to heaven. It's just lie upon lie upon lie upon lie after lie that we were brought up with until all of a sudden you look at this book and say, you know, I was a Catholic and they have what they call the 14 stations of the cross. In every church they have the 14 stations. And Jesus Christ did this and he fell down here and his robe was rent and then they gave him a cloth to wipe his face off and everything else. Guess what? Yahushua never even carried the cross. And then you're looking for these 14 stations of the cross in the Bible, which I was looking because I was like, it's not in there. Where'd you get this stuff? You just made it up. Somebody just made it up. And we know who bore the cross.
Simon.
Was Simon. Simon bore the cross. And the only time it says Yahushua bore the cross is then John, which is showing you it's a figure because actually Simon bore the cross and Yahushua didn't bore the cross.
He was in
that's another
condition
deal.
Physically.
Yeah. And you're like, and not only that, we just made up stuff and we pray to Mary, right? And that's Catholics and Protestants doing the exact same things. When people go to heaven, I mean, they die, they go to heaven, so dying's actually good, and on, and there's a resurrection. Who cares about the resurrection? You're already in heaven. You know, so it just wants to know if I know that says there's one God, but we got three persons in one God. You know, what chapter and verse is that?
Yeah.
And, oh, he's the God-man. What chapter and verse is that? I've never seen the word God-man in his book. Well, just making it up, making it up, making it up. And so 14 through 25. Now therefore revere you, Yahweh, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve you, Yahweh. And he has to say this to the church. You know, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And he's been here, I forget, another 10 years, I think, cleaning up the land of Canaan. And he's saying, get rid of your gods. What are you doing with gods? What are you doing with gods? But if it be a vexation in your eyes to serve Yahweh, choose you for yourself today whom you will serve. Where the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river. And guess what? If the gods you serve were beyond the river, are they as strict as Yahweh? No. They let us party. And that's why we serve them. You know, child sacrifices, you know, drunken brawls, fornication. That's those gods. That's these gods.
Putting your children through the fire.
Yeah, feel your children
burning
fire.
Burning their live babies.
Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are dwelling, but I and my house will serve Yahweh. And you go on that, all the way to verse 24. We're not going to go there, but go to Jude or Judges chapter 2.
Jude or Judges?
Judges chapter 2. So, Yahushua did a great job. Was faithful to Moses. He was faithful to to going to the land of Canaan, and faithful to the end, as you can see. And 2 verse 6, and you're going to look at now. Here's people who were raised in the wilderness 40 years, being fed manna. And being taken care of, and we won battle upon battle upon battle upon battle. Well, that's enough evidence just to be able to say, Yahweh's our God, and that's it.
Yeah.
Right? That should just seal it. Generational. No. 6, now when Yahushua had let the people go, the sons of Israel went away, every man to his inheritance, to take possession of the land. And the people served Yahweh all the days of Yahushua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Yahushua, who had seen all the great works of Yahweh which he had wrought in Israel. So then Yahushua, the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died, And I hear that being called, you want to be called a servant? I want to be called a servant of Yahweh. And how do you get that title? You serve. I can't say I'm a servant. I'm a part-time servant of Yahweh. Part-time servant. And the servant of Yahweh died being 110 years old, and they buried him with the bounds of his within the bounds of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim on the mount of Mount Gash. All that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who had not... Now, this is one generation. Here's how bad things go. One generation had not known Yahweh, nor even the words which he had wrought for Israel. So the sons of Israel did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and served the Baals, and forsook Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were round about them, and bowed themselves down unto them, and angered Yahweh. Wow. And so do you think today, and this is a good illustration of this whole book, we'll give you an illustration of the church fathers... are the apostles and the prophets. They have nothing to do with these other people they call Athanasius, Basil. These are not church. This is what man has given them a title. Mm-hmm. These are not apostles. These are not prophets. They are actually Gentiles. They are polytheists that became Christians and brought with them polytheism, multiple gods. And so the Trinity came into effect not till like 380 AD. So that's 300 years past, you know, Christ, in essence. 300 years. Our United States is 250 plus years. What can happen in 250 years? What can happen in 100 years? What happened in 40 years, a generation?
What happened in 50 years?
Yeah, and you see this over and over. So don't be surprised that what you've been taught has some truth. You always have to have truth, but it is infected with tares. And so you got darnels or tares. It's among the wheat. It's wheat, but there's also tares that you've been giving. And so if you look in the book, you're going to know where the tares are and pull them up, pull them up, pull them up, pull them up. And so we get to choose. I'm going to be with Yahweh and be hated. Be with Yahushua and be hated. If I stand in line, I will do it in love, but I'm going to speak the truth. And if a person is in sin, I'm going to give them a chance. And so I give this to people, and now I'm on the record of giving them a chance. And if you want to still be a Trinitarian and worship other gods and make Jesus your God, go ahead. But I'm on the record to say you are without excuse. You've been given the chance. So you do the same thing, or if you don't choose and you want to be lukewarm and be happy by everybody, don't be surprised when you meet Christ. All right, because you've made your choice, that's fine. You want to be in the lower 5 percentile? Go ahead.
Father gave us freedom of will.
Yeah, freedom of will, and that's fine. They still love you, but we have children like that. Many times they're just very disappointed. What benefits we've given them, the resources have been given to them, and they go off and get drunk or don't work or something like that. And so disappointed. All you can say is disappointed, but they had a choice. So we'll end up there and have a word of prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14. And it says, covet to prophesy. Is your church prophesying? And you have to ask, why? What is that? We'll show you how. It's real simple. But Father, we thank you for these words to our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Be speaking my words, which are truth, which will go down to the bones, the marrow of people's bones, which will bring them deliverance if they abide by it, if they take it in. If they do not take it in, well, that's their cause for them to have a life that's not more than abundant. But I speak for you to make that choice where you can rise up above the world and know that the world will hate you as it also hated me. Amen.